Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank my brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Father, we want to thank you for your word that reminds us of who continues to define us and how your word continues to point towards the cross as well and what it means. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these words that are not dead, but alive and true. It's in the name of our Savior that we pray. Amen. You know, I've thoroughly enjoyed the music this morning from our sister in Christ opening us through everything that has happened. And I think about some of the images of Palm Sunday that I hold true. Those two hymns that we've sung already, boy, I have to sing those on Palm Sunday. I'm sorry. Even if I'm singing them in my house, I'll close the windows and doors so the neighbors don't call at the authorities, my dogs don't howl, things like that. But I need to be able to sing those. And I'm thinking about some of the other things that I need on Palm Sunday. I need palm branches, okay? Oftentimes this church has taken on a ministry, kind of an impromptu ministry, of taking them to nursing care facilities or even the hospital and passing them out to the nurses or the people that work there. And they really appreciate that because they hold the palm branch and they say, "Oh, it's Palm Sunday, huh?" Say, "No, we give these out every Sunday." "No," I tell them, "it's Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. You're right. You're right on the calendar." But there's another thing as well on Palm Sunday that each and every year becomes even more essential for me to have, to be able to see, to be able to sense, to be able to experience, to be open to in all its poignancy and power. And that is the cross. Just yesterday, a young friend came into the church and he came into Callaway Hall. And I happened to be here and doing a couple things. And he looked up on the wall in Callaway Hall, where we have Cookie Fellowship. And he looked up on the wall and he said, "Ooh, cool trophy." You know what he was looking at? The cross. Do you know that there's a cross in Callaway Hall? Do you know? Are you aware of that? Yeah. It's up there. In fact, I was going to use it as an illustration, and that bugger is secure against that wall, okay? So yesterday, I'm kind of pounding on it. You know, I'm pulling, and I'm thinking, I don't want to rip out the cross from the wall. There's a hole in that there. It's not there. It's not there right now. So I got another cross to be able to use. But it was interesting for me to think about him saying, "Hey, look at that trophy." Now what he's used to at his school is probably looking at a trophy case, okay? And the trophies all gleaming and shining, and there's a collection of them, and all he saw was a gleaming and shining object against the wall. And so from what he knew, because he didn't come from any sort of a Christian background, is it was a trophy. That's what he thought it was. And so in his innocence, that's what came out of his mouth. Now, is it a trophy? You could think of it that way. Is it simply jewelry to be worn? I don't think so. In fact, maybe if we had crosses to carry around all day, well, it might be difficult to do certain things like drive and such like that. But if we had it to carry around all day, we sure would be thinking about it. Sure would be keep mindful of it and what it is, and that it's supposed to be something, especially on Holy Week, my goodness, especially at Holy Week, that we need to be thinking about. So the cross that I have today is something that I would normally present to somebody at a house blessing. And guess what it says on it? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? Yeah, I want to be glad in it too, even if I don't feel like it. Even if I haven't had my egos yet today. Even if I haven't had my coffee. Yeah, this is the day that the Lord has made. Because it's not about me. It's about what God has done already. This is from Psalm 118. And I read the verses that precede this particular scripture in Psalm 118 earlier. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That's important because while there is this sense of celebration, this sense of praise today, and especially in that psalm, it also points to something else. Rejection. Pain. Crucifixion. Good Friday. This Sunday is also known as Passion Sunday. We celebrate Palm Sunday because, quite honestly, if we didn't have palm branches to pass out, we'd have problems. I'd have problems. So we have them today. But we have the palm branches, and we should never keep those palm branches too far away from the cross, should we? We should always keep it right there. They're intertwined. They're connected. The cross should never be something that kind of fades into the background. The cross should be something that each and every Sunday we look at and we consider and we understand what was done on that for us. This week, beyond all weeks, is a time to put aside distractions and to think about the cross. If we wear one, to kind of just sort of feel that every once in a while during the day, what that means, what that is for us. If we have one in our house, to be able to look at that and sense it and to be able to understand the grace behind it. Grace, remember, is God being at work in your life before you've ever even thought of Him. Grace is the aha moment when we realize, oh, that was God loving me. Oh, that was God washing through my life. Oh, that was God reminding me that He created me and He's never going to let me go. The cross points to those things. The cross is not something to guilt us into faith. The cross is not something to be using to beat us over the head with. The cross, rather, is something to remind us of how God changes things. And Palm Sunday is an illustration of that, if any day is. You know, Jesus, it said, entered into Jerusalem seeking a crown, but in the end bore a cross. There's all sorts of prophetic imagery in this scripture passage, starting from the Mount of Olives, continuing with riding in on a donkey, a colt, whatever phrase you want to use to describe that humble beast of burden. This is prophesied, and this is pointed to as something that would indicate to people that this was the one who was promised, the Messianic King. In their excitement, did that crowd understand what was really happening? Did the disciples necessarily understand what was taking place? In our Bible study this past week, somebody brought up, you know, the thing that troubles me the most is that the disciples went in and asked to borrow somebody's transportation, and they just said, yes. It's like handing over the keys to your car to somebody you don't even know. That was what was most troubling to them. Sacrifices. Ways that we get out of the way so God can work. Sometimes, whenever it starts, it's something that makes us uncomfortable. Nonetheless, God's will and God's plan is what we are called to follow always and only. Jesus coming in to the tumultuous roar of this crowd, shaking the very foundation that he was riding in on, shaking the foundations of the city. And indeed, in the excitement and exuberance of people laying down branches, whether they were palm branches or not, doesn't really make a difference. Laying down their cloaks, taking off the very clothes off their back to be able to honor this Messianic King. You know, it was ringing in their minds, the prophet's words, that this is how he was going to come into Jerusalem. And they were with exuberance pouring themselves out on whatever they had, whatever meager belongings they had to be able to honor Jesus. It strikes me that the church today is called to do the same thing. Now see, we know what happens. They didn't. They had no idea of what was to follow. But we do. And then we know the rest of the story as well, don't we? Not only crucifixion, not only the cross, that's not where it ended, that's indeed where it began. And so for us as a church, are we called to pour out our entire selves in humility? Are we called to pour out our entire selves, everything that we have, to be able to honor Christ? Are we called to pour all of that out, to empty our hearts so that Christ can fully enter into our hearts and claim us as one of his own today and every day? Yes. That is what the church is called to do on Palm Sunday. Not only the celebration, but the emptying of ourselves, keeping mindful of the cross, to be able to allow Christ to enter fully into our hearts. Does that mean that he isn't here right now? Of course not. Is God in our hearts right now? Yes, of course. But does he want more of us? Of course. Does he want all of us? Yes. There were those who were bandwagon fans on Palm Sunday, weren't there? Yeah. You know what a bandwagon fan is? Somebody who says they love the team all their life while they're winning, and then they give all of their paraphernalia to Goodwill whenever they start losing. And so you wonder why they have all this Steeler paraphernalia there, and you wonder who handed it over. Good, you know, bandwagon fans. Bandwagon Christians. Certainly when things are going well, yeah, it's easy. It's wonderful. Sure, yeah, I'm a Christian. But when things are going poorly. God, where are you? It's not a criticism. It's just an observation. We've all done it. We've all been in the crowd saying, Hosanna, save us. And not necessarily understanding what that meant, save us. But shouting it out as a praise, as kind of a cheer, okay? So we say that, certainly. But we have to be mindful not to be in the crowd later on that says, crucify him. Some of the same people that were watching him come in, that were so excited just a few days before, were also in that same crowd screaming that out. Crucify him. We don't want him. Who is he? Right at the end of this scripture reading, right at the very end of it, there's something I wanted to share with you that struck me. In verse 11, in this translation, it says, the crowds were saying, now they were exuberant, they were excited. Kind of have this image of Jesus coming in on a donkey, and in movies and television shows, it's portrayed people waving the palm branches, you understand what I'm saying? And there's cloaks down, it's kind of close quarters. It's not, I guess it's kind of like an ancient ticker tape parade, sort of like that, maybe. But it's kind of close quarters. He's not riding in the back of a convertible. They didn't have those yet, convertibles in Old Testament times. But nonetheless, it was this celebration. But right at the very end of this scripture reading that our brother shared this morning, this struck me, okay? This struck me. And I think it should strike all of us to think about what people were really thinking at that time. What all of this meant. The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. There's a weight whenever I read that. So there are folks that weren't really understanding that this was the Messiah King, were there? Just another prophet. Just another really well-known rabbi. Just another talented person coming in. This is the prophet. Doggone it. You always hope for the best. That's part of our human nature. That's part of us as Christians. We always hope for the best and want the best to happen for people. And we're pulling for people. And especially when people are going through difficult times and challenging moments in their life, as Christians, that's part of our ethic. We pull for them. We want them. We want them to be able to do better in life and to be able to feel God's grace and love and all of its power. And whenever we hear that last verse here, we think, did the whole crowd miss it? Really miss the point? I'm not sure. That's not my place to judge. In fact, it's not my place to judge at all. I'm not in that business. No Christian should be. Remember, Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. This week, we remember that phrase. We're forgiven. We're not called to be perfect, but we are called to consider what Christ means in our lives. To consider in this time frame between entering into Jerusalem, being on the cross, and then resurrection, what does having Jesus as my personal Savior really mean to me? How do I live that out? Is it something simply that I'm seeking to be happy about? Or is it something that I'm seeking to be able to experience a deep abiding joy so that no matter what's happening in my life, no matter what pain, no matter what struggles, no matter what challenges, I still have that joy because I have Jesus in my heart. And I know God loves me because he gave me Jesus to have a saving relationship with him through Christ and the Holy Spirit. That, my friends, is what we ponder as we consider the cross, as we think about, yes, this being the day that the Lord has made, but why is it a celebration? What had to happen first? I invite you to join with me this week to participate in the gatherings. I invite you to join with me starting this afternoon to participate in that reenactment of that Last Supper, the disciples, if you can come. The worship services, the rest of this Holy Week. And as we hold on to the cross and we're mindful of it and we reflect on it, we also reflect on how God is at work in our lives and whether or not we've really handed our lives completely over to Him through Christ. Believe me, this is not about passing judgment. This is not about coercion. This is not about anything else besides God's grace. God continues to reach out to us, and He reaches out to us once again this morning saying, I'd like you to hand it all over to me through Christ. I'd like you to hand every bit of your life so that you're not simply in the crowd saying, Hosanna, but you are in the crowd waiting for Christ not only enter the city, but enter your hearts. This time of the discipleship, I'd ask you to reflect on the cross especially and what it means. What it means for you that God loved you so much that He sent His only Son, that you would have eternal life, but that you would have new life here and now. Be it open right now. Be it open to God as you hear the music and as you just reflect on this. And if there's something that you need to hand over to God, or if you need to renew that relationship that you have with Him through Christ, do so. Do so. He's ready to embrace you in incredible grace and love.